Well, is it really been a month since our last episode of Beyond the Boundary here from K-Rock Footy? It just seems to sort of just been last week, but here we are again. Jason Doherty, hello, co-pilot.
Oh, Captain, I've missed your voice. I really have. It's gone very quickly, hasn't it?
There's a lot happened in local footy over the last month.
As you would expect, coming up to Christmas, yep. As always, there's plenty going on.
The only thing that hasn't been restructured is our show.
No,
although there is some restructure plans there too.
Already? After two?
No, not this.
Oh, no.
There's some other stuff that we'll discuss.
We'll get to that, but that's okay.
Down the track, some big guests. New president.
Right.
And you know him well.
Do I?
I think he went all right with cricket bat in hand, didn't he? Did he? Highland?
Yeah, I think he thinks he's a pretty good cricketer, so we'll get to him.
So Nipper Highland will join us from Barwon Heads. Nice. Going to speak to a player who has departed from a premiership-winning GFNL team to a GDFNL team in Rob Mayborn.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Montrose own.
And now living in Meredith.
There you go. That's the connection.
I believe he's leaving the GFNL because he was upset that he didn't get given a cool nickname.
Well, we can talk about that to him. I mean, if he comes back, we might give him one.
Yeah, we'll see him back in the GFNL. Talking about the GFNL, time to go inside the St Mary's camp. Their season didn't end the way they wanted it to. Top of the ladder and pipped on the post in the second semi-final by South Barwon, beaten by Leopold in the preliminary final, and a change of coaching structure this year with Travis Robertson pulling the pin. Luke Rayner, who has been a mainstay day of local coaching, Torquay, Winchelsea, Bell Park, bit of Falcons work in there as well as being a Falcons premiership player, all-round good bloke, now co-coach of St Mary's, joins us on the line. Hello, Rains, welcome to Beyond the Boundary.
Keen, Jace, pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Part
of the comedy stint.
You know it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, tell me how you're settling back in to having the hot seat underneath you rather than just being all care and no responsibility as an assistant coach.
It's exciting. It's no doubt that there's a little bit of a different lens that you have to look through it, for sure. But I think, you know, in terms of, I guess, a freshness in voice, I guess has been probably the main theme pre-Christmas. Casey to sort of take a little bit more of a back seat and work behind the scenes more so. And I've been sort of given full rein in regards to, I guess, our training program and the messaging and just some slight tweaks to game style and game plan and so forth. So, yeah, it's a busy time of the year. It's a hectic time of the year. There's obviously the recruiting part of it. There's the support staff part of it. And then there's, you know, your player program and conditioning part of it. So, we've spent a great 4 weeks on the track and laid a good foundation. And the output from the players has been super.
Not Bond Hall. Doesn't sound like a group of football. It sounds like my law firm, but they're all gone. Bond was the only one who had any real impact in 2023 in terms of playing regular senior footy, Hawley, and not obviously battling injuries. They're gone. You're not going to look too different next year, but there are a couple of handy additions. But one guy that's snuck under the radar a bit, I know he doesn't want too much media around him returning, but I believe Zach Sherman's going to wear navy blue and green next year.
Yeah, Shermo arrived back about 3 weeks ago now, I think, and has pretty much joined us every night since arriving back, and has committed and keen to go again. So he's a fantastic in for us. Like, he had an amazing 2022, and was obviously integral in regards to the premiership winning team of that year. So yeah, his ball use, his decision making, and his sort of skill execution was certainly sorely missed in 2023. So it's great to have him back on board.
Rainsy probably takes over a little bit from Nick Stevens, not going to be there. He's moving to Glenelg. Just about him obviously moving on to the SAFL, and also the relationship Scott Selwood's, what's he doing in 24, obviously being moved into another role at Collingwood. So in terms of his availability for the club?
Yeah, we don't envisage Scott will be part of it moving forward. So Scott and I can't recall exactly how many games Scott would have ended up playing for us last year, but let's call it around 10, I suppose. And Nick probably not too dissimilar. This and that was certainly both really sound players for us, and Scott in particular from a leadership perspective helped sort of fill a bit of that void down back, and also from a bit of a player education perspective was really helpful to us. So I think, you know, my preference, to be honest, in terms of, you know, my lens moving forward, is that we've got a great junior development system. We've got great number of players that are continually coming through our ranks. They're local, they're here, they're training, they want to be a part of the green and the blue. So, you know, my lens is that, you know, I'm really, really keen to expose as many of those as I possibly can through my tenure, however long that might be. And naturally, you'll always need to top up and you'll always need to recruit. But, you know, I want to make sure we have as many full-time St Mary's local players as we possibly can, because I just think it helps for your stability and your continuity and I guess the team aspect of what you're trying to achieve. So, so yeah, we certainly haven't, as you're aware, we haven't gone out on a mad recruiting spree. Our retention's been pretty good, bar a couple, obviously a few retirements, which does leave a little bit of a leadership void, given their experience in particular Knott and Hall. But yeah, we've been able to sort of secure a couple of our targets, and we'll predominantly rely upon, you know, I guess the hunger and the development of our existing group to hopefully again bridge the gap on the couple of teams that finished above us.
The depth of your club is probably the envy of many clubs in the GFNL, and so I suppose that's the thing that you're looking at, and as you said, the junior development program that you've got there. But there's probably sort of four or five blokes that could play at any other GFNL club, you know, in 2023 that were playing in your reserves, so they're obviously going to be able to get a crack possibly in 2024.
Yeah, that's certainly my thought process, and listen, it's not going to be given to them. They've got to go out, they've got to earn the right, and they've got to do the work. But that's been a clear message to that sort of cohort, if you like, that you know, we're very much keen to expose you. We just need you guys to obviously knuckle down and do the work and I guess produce form at the right time and show the attributes that we believe you have to earn that spot. So yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's great, and I think there's no doubt that. You know, there's half a dozen players there, in my view, that we need to, you know, be ready to expose as early as we possibly can and start to get senior GFNL footy under their belt.
The two recruits we touched on K-Rock footy not long ago, Rains, with you, were Nick Minchin from Frankston VFL and Elijah Wales from Myrtleford. Waiting for a bloke to play underneath you, you know, can take time sometimes. Coaches work on players for a couple of years to come across and play underneath them. But in your case, you've been working on Elijah Wales for about 23 years.
Yeah, it's a funny one, that one, isn't it? So, yeah, obviously my first coaching stint was in Myrtleford in 2000. I think Elijah was three at the time, and his dad, Ian Wales, was my non-playing assistant/bench coach. And yeah, so I had a great experience at Myrtleford, so I sort of kept a connection and a contact with quite a few Myrtleford people over, you know, the last sort of 20-odd years. And yeah, sometimes it's funny how things can go full circle and connections and networks come in handy at different times. So yeah, listen, Elijah's a really, really good get for us. You know, 27 years of age, got some genuine leg speed, got some genuine skill and can certainly, and has the versatility to probably play anywhere on the ground. So I think, and also brings with him, I guess, an age profile that we probably need to boost a little bit, and a leadership profile that will certainly assist our group, both from a training point of view, but also from a playing standard perspective as well. So yeah, no, he's a great addition, and I'm sure he's got a couple of brothers in the area as well, and I think there's a couple of grandkids with a couple of his brothers. So I'm sure Ian and Loretta will head down the highway and no doubt come down and watch Elijah a bit. So it'd be great to catch up with the Wales family again.
Yep. Nick mentioned at Geelong VFL, is that correct?
Yeah, he's training with the squad at the moment. So, so he's obviously trying to gain a contract with Geelong VFL, so he needs to, I guess, play that out and see where that lands. But certainly signed with St Mary's and really keen to go. I guess it's obviously with Nick Knott going down early last year, it certainly did put the pressure on the list a little bit. It was great to see Sam Christensen sort of step into the role and predominantly play that part for the remainder of the season. And I think his growth and development throughout the year was fantastic. So to be able to add another big man in, such as Nick, provides us with a little bit more flexibility, you know, both from a ruck point of view, but also from a key position point of view, with Chris O being able to play potentially one of those roles as well. So, they're a really welcome addition. Again, sort of 28 years of age, well experienced, played a good level of footy, has come across first impressions as just a really down to earth, cracking fellow. So I think he'll be a great fit for our culture and for our group. And we're looking forward to see what he does for us. Hopefully from round one onwards.
Co-coach at St Mary's is a big job, but you have one of the other biggest jobs in Geelong, and that's being CEO of the Geelong Race Club. You've got some massive race meets coming up over the next month, which will keep you busy. You'll probably be glad that footy quietens off for a month to get those out of the way. And it all starts race one on Friday at Geelong. Massive meet this week.
Our Christmas party, mate. So we've sort of got about 560 in marquees, about another 90 in umbrella packages, just under 200 up in the dining room. So a cracking day.
That's 198 people and two lunatics in the dining room, I think, on Friday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. The old Toddy and Kinney Memorial.
Oh, no. Stay right. I mean, everybody go to the racing club, but stay away from those two.
Yep,
if you don't see them, you'll certainly hear them, I suppose. really good day. And then, the 27th, so no longer the Boxing Day, the 26th. We race on December 27th for anyone out there listening. I'd be interested to see actually whether we get any stalwarts rock up on the 26th, but they'll find an empty race course on that day, and we'll need to come back the following day for day two of the test and December 27th. Always a good day, always a great day, usually a really strong GA crowd. And then we sort of slide into January 6th, which is our Metropolitan Race Day. So we will be the number one Victorian race meeting on the day, and it's a great day to be allocated. It's a terrific opportunity for the race club. Obviously, the region of Geelong, Surf Coast, Ballarine in particular, will sort of be heaving with tourists and also locals on holidays at that point in time. So, so we have a massive day planned in regards to, I guess, the activation of the site across the day, appealing to, I think, what will be a real broad sector. So. I guess we're trying to provide no excuse not to come, given the wide variety of activity that we do have planned. So, we're really excited for that. $1.5 million in prize money on the track, and a multitude of opportunities off the track to have a great day. So, as a club, I'd like to think moving forward it's a sort of day that can replicate a crowd number, or maybe even one day surpass a Geelong Cup crowd. So so we're excited for it. It'll take time to build momentum. It'll take time to build awareness around it. But we're certainly really, really keen for year one to hit the ground running and be a cracking day.
Yep. There's a chance for local sporting clubs, and obviously we'll have a lot of footy clubs and netball clubs listening to us here, but I think there's $20,000 up for grabs for first prize for a community race. Can you explain, Rains, how local clubs can get involved that are listening to us?
Yeah, so the club, with the support of Racing Victoria, have put up a $40,000 cash pool. Basically, it is open for any community, sporting, non-for-profit or charity group that is incorporated to purchase a community bundle online, www.grc.com.au. That will cost you $400. And basically, for that $400, you'll get your 20 admission tickets, which is your retail price. So you can hopefully, at a worst case, bring along 20 people from your group to the day. By purchasing that bundle, you will then go into the draw. We'll have an allocated community race on the day, which we're hopeful of somewhere around that sort of 14 to 15 starters. All of our community groups that purchase a bundle will go into a draw, to narrow it down to the final 14, 15 or 16, whatever it might be. We will then conduct another draw to then allocate each one of those community groups a horse in the community race. And then basically we will pay down from one through to last, first through to last, with the winning horse / winning sporting or community group receiving $20,000 in cash, first prize.
Beautiful.
So it's a lot of sausage sizzles. It's a lot of meat raffles.
Absolutely.
40,000 all up, 7.5 for second, 5 for third, 1,500 for fourth, and every other place getter after that, $500. So money back if you make it into the final final draw on the day. So as we speak, what are we, 3 weeks or so out? We've sold 9 community bundles in total. So I see Amos in there, I see St Mary's in there, I see Grovedale in there, Geelong United in there, who else was in there? Bell Park, I think, is in there. East Belmont Cricket Club's in there. So if you're a sporting club, if you're a community group, if you're scouts, if you're pony club, if you're netball, if you're football, if you're cricket, if you're hockey, if you're any sort of incorporated entity of a sporting or community or charity background, you are eligible to purchase tickets.
Reins, www.grc.org.au. Good to talk footy with you, good to talk racing with you, and if we don't see you at Anthony Costa Oval, we'll see you out at Breakwater over the next month.
Good on you, gents, as always. Appreciate your support, both on the footy front, but also just to get the little racing mention in there also.
Happy to help.
Well done, Reins. Good work.
Well, great to chat with Luke Rayner, but Jace, got a very important man next on the line.
Oh, he's a doyen. He's the doyen of Bowen Head Sport, because it's not just footy, it's cricket too. And we'll get to his illustrious cricketing career as well. But the new president of the Bowen Heads Football Netball Club, Russell Nipper Highland, joins us on the line as well. Nipper, welcome to Beyond the Boundary, and thanks for joining us.
No, that's fine, mate. No dramas. Happy to help out you blokes.
We need all the help we can get in here, so that's good. Now, just take us through the process of you becoming the numero uno at Bowen Heads for 2024. How did that transpire?
Maybe I was standing in the wrong spot at the right time.
Everybody else moved backwards.
Too sure. I got a bit more involved in the footy club this year. With my son playing footy down there, so he moved down from Newtown and Chilwell to play at Bowen Heads, and so I got a bit involved, and then all of a sudden we were looking for a new director of football, so I took on that role with a fair bit of help from Troy Mitchell, which was good, and then we got speaking to Tim Goddard, the outgoing president, who Tim and I have been mates all our lives. And Tim said, he was getting a little bit over it. He's getting a little bit tired. He'd been doing it for 6 years, which, not only included a couple of premierships, but included the whole COVID saga and that sort of thing. So he was pretty tired, and he'd done a really good job. So the decision was made to look for someone else, and I helped look for someone else. And at the end of the day, all the fingers pointed back at me.
It's probably a great time to take over as the president. I mean, the club is going very well, both on and off the field, and obviously in football and netball as well. And the juniors have, as you said, with your son down there, ramping up well as well. So it's probably a pretty good time to take over at the club.
It's an exciting time. The women's football's powering ahead as well. They've got plenty of numbers, and there's, a bit of excitement. Challenges ahead of us. We didn't win the premiership last year, so there's a challenge to get back up there again. But it's just good to be part of the community. And it's, it's a really good community down there. And I'm just down there to, help out where I can and steer some people in the right direction, which there is plenty of people around helping out and doing all the things, which is fantastic. It's a really good place to be.
Tim didn't go quietly, though, did he, Nipper?
Well, don't subscribe to the Geelong Advertising. You'll have to explain that.
Well done.
So that takes me to restructure. And can you enlighten us to where Bowen Heads sit on the prospect of shaking things up in terms of the structure of local football and netball come 2025?
Well, it's a difficult thing, Tom, because there's so many unanswered questions come out of the town hall meetings that we had last week. Everybody's asking me questions, and there is, as big as, what happens to the juniors, what happens to the netball, what happens to this, what happens to that, where do we go, what do we do, and that sort of thing. So that's one thing. But what we've taken out of it, it's really not going to help our club move forward, is the way we feel. It might help some clubs, but I can't see it helping our club right now, today, or next season. So, perhaps when it's planned out a little bit better and There's more detail involved in it. It could work, or there could be a different scenario put forward. But just the way it is at the moment, it doesn't suit us. As I say, it might suit some clubs, but not us at this point in time.
Ocean Grove have made their position known, and that's that they are aspirational and they would like to one day play in a Premier competition in Geelong, whether that is Premier Division under this planned restructure or just the GFNL. I suspect, though, being the other side of the river, if there's one rivalry you don't want to lose, you probably don't want to not be playing against Ocean Grove, but there's a future that might have that in it.
Yeah, well, that's just something that you've got to move on from and that sort of thing. But, it would be sad to not have the Battle of the Bridge anymore. But having said that, the battles of the bridge today are nothing like the ones I played in. Mm-hmm. And they're probably not anything like the ones that played in the 70s that I used to watch as a kid. So, of course, football was a different times and era then and played in different style. But, it would be sad to miss playing Ocean Grove every year. I suppose we could organise a practice match against them and continue to hold the trophy.
Now let's talk on the field. The boys, Reid Adams from St Joey's is a nice little pickup, and Sam Witherden back from North Shore. So a couple of handy additions to the midfield at Bowen Heads for next season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Reid came down. Two of his really good mates playing down there, Brock Close. Spent a bit of time at Joey's, and Jimmy Allen's come back to the club. Mm. Of course, he was a premiership player at Joey's as well. He got over some concussion issues over the last few years and decided he wanted to play again, but his hamstring didn't hold up towards the end of the season, so we only got 3 games out of him. But he's been training the house down this year, so he's pretty much another recruit and comes in as a one-pointer because he played the first 7 or 8 years of football at Bowen Heads. So that's fantastic. It's fantastic to have someone of Reid's experience around the club. And it's really good to have Sammy Witherden back. He's got a fantastic attitude. He just wants to play with his mates, enjoy his footy, help out the kids where he can. And, you sort of forget when you talk to Sammy that you're talking to a 21-year-old. He's very mature for his age and says all the right things that a president of a club wants to hear. But it's really good to have him back. He's got big shoes to fill, though.
You gain Witherden, you lose Wiltshire. You must be absolutely annoyed with the Cats for taking one of your best players.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find out what we're getting in exchange for it. But haven't had any phone calls from them yet. But,
you might want to blame that Scarlet bloke, I think, by the sounds of it. I think he might have had an impact in that, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. No, he's done well. And, as we all know, it's everybody's dream, isn't it? And, it's not only is it everybody's dream, but the way it's worked out is that it's just like a fairy tale. One week you're playing there with your mates, having a kick, and, dropping down the pub on the way home for a couple of pots, and next thing you're a professional footballer. It's great, but big shoes to fill.
Yeah, you haven't rung Isaac Smith just to say, hey mate, look, Ollie got drafted, we need somebody off the Cats list, are you available?
Yeah, well, there's another bloke we keep working on, but he's not too good. He comes down quite often and pushes a pram around the oval. Apparently he had a bit of a career at Geelong. Joel somebody or other.
Oh, yes. He's a local.
He is a local.
He's a local. He comes down quite often and watches the footy and, he's around the club. He helps out a little bit in the background, one of those unsung heroes that, if we need a hand, he'll help out. But on the field, he'd be handy.
While we're talking footy, let's talk about the illustrious Highland cricket career at Bowen Heads. Have you actually pulled on the whites this year? I was looking through Play Cricket. I couldn't see your name. Are you playing still? What's happening?
I can't get a game.
Yeah, I was looking at that. Molly and a few blokes are playing down the grade, so you'd be in a bit of trouble there, I suspect.
We've got 5 teams this year.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And we are comfortably filling them every week.
Wow.
And, I don't want to be playing if a kid's going to miss out, so I'll just, step back. And I'm actually, we've got two chairmen as the selectors this year, and I'm one of them, so I could pull rank. But to be honest, I'm really enjoying Saturday afternoons off. I get to watch my son Harry play. He's a bit up and down between the A grade and the B grade, so he's enjoying his cricket, and it's been good to watch him. He's got a couple of 50s in the B grade this year, and been bowling pretty well at the moment. So I just enjoy watching them and getting around and having a look who else is doing well in the grades and that sort of thing. So there's no real desire to play, although if we could get the Highland trifecta of me, my son and my nephew on the field together, I might pretty well pull the whites back on. But that all relies on Louis' desire to come back to Barlett.
Nipper, you guys are actually, I know we're talking footy, but local cricket always gets a mention at some stage amongst us here at K-Rock Footy, but Barn Heads are actually defying a bit of a trend. You've got, as you said, you've got five senior teams, but you look at some of the, especially in the Ballarine, some of the other clubs, Port Arlington, who have always fielded four, are back to three. St Leonard's got themselves to three, nearly four. They're back to two. I think Barrabool's only running with three. What's different for you guys to be able to field five teams?
Oh, I don't know. We've had some really big juniors come through. Well, the group that are my son at Harry's age, the 16, 17, 18-year-olds, when they started Milo cricket, as it was called then, we had 140, 150 kids doing that.
Jesus.
They all do drop off, but, we've kept the core group, and pretty much, I reckon, last year's under 17 team, there was probably seven or eight that stepped up to keep playing senior cricket. So that's important. And then you've got the next level behind that. There's three under 17 kids playing in the A grade team as we speak. And that sort of filters down through, some good cricketers that are playing, some reasonable cricket in the lower grades. And then their dads come along, and their dads quite often have forgotten about cricket, but they actually are quite good. We've got some very talented fathers that are playing in the lower grades that didn't realise they still had it, and we didn't realise they had it to start with, some of them. So it's quite good. There's quite a lot of father sons, getting around in the club at the moment, which is great.
Nipper, we wish you the best of luck. Presidency's obviously a key role, and especially in these times where change potentially on the cards, you've got a lead from the front, and no doubt you'll do that with aplomb, as we expect, as you did on the cricket field and footy field for so long. Good to talk to you, and appreciate your time on Beyond the Boundary.
Good on you. Thanks, Kingy. Thanks, Jase. Good to speak, guys.
Good to talk to Nipper Highland. So we've done a bit of GFL with Luke Rain, a bit of Ballarine with Nipper, and now a bit of GDFNL. Now, I didn't see this one coming, Jase.
No.
This man,
left field,
very good in his couple of seasons wearing the number 19 at Leopold. But he's off to Bannockburn. He's Rob Mayborn, and he's been good enough to join us on Beyond the Boundary. Rob, thanks for having a chat to us. How do we find you on this Wednesday afternoon?
Oh, pretty good. Stuck down in Portland at the moment.
You're not down there doing some recruiting for Leopold, eh? Because half of Portland plays at Leopold.
That's it. I can see Giddo's house from down here.
if they're not at Leopold, they're at Geelong West. Portland would actually field a really good footy team
if they could have all the players.
They've got. Now, Rob, look, serious question first. Is it true that you've left Leopold because the K-Rock commentary team didn't give you a cool nickname like the Piano Tuner or the Undertaker?
Yeah, well, you have to be good to get a nickname, so I fully understand why I didn't get one.
If we had known, we would have given you one. We wanted you to stay. What's going on?
So how have you ended up at Bannockburn?
A bit of a life choice. I really wanted to stay at Leopold, but we actually bought a house down in Meredith. So, and then I also got a new job, which kind of requires me to work all over Victoria. So just being home, wasn't home much, and getting to trainings as well from Meredith to Leopold, it's over an hour. So, and now the missus has got one on the way. It's a bit hard for me to travel all the way down there. And so Bannockburn was a lot closer, and I got a call from Ronnie and kind of just went from there.
Why Meredith is the question. Unless you're buying happy hens, why move to Meredith?
Why Meredith? We got a really good block down there. We've got 25 acres. It's kind of just a lifestyle choice. So, yeah, a couple chickens and sheep and all that. And now I love it down there. It's a bit of space.
Now, Rob, Ronnie's a legend, so he would have known you moved into Meredith before you actually moved to Meredith. How did that all come about in terms of Ronnie getting in contact with you? Who was the link at the Meredith pub? Because that's where they normally go, through hotels. What was the link between Ronnie giving you a call?
You can't hide anywhere.
No, you cannot. That's right.
In small towns, someone gets wind of it and there's no hiding. Someone will give you a call somewhere. So it might have actually been Paul Cully.
Yes.
He came over with us, but I'm not 100% sure.
Scenario is that there's a couple going there, obviously. Fletcher Wilson's going there as well, and Bailey Kelly. What's mine host at Leopold Sporties, Paul Kelly. What's happening there?
Yeah, so Paul's the forward line coach down there, which is
a handy
addition.
Gee whiz.
So I'm really glad Paul came over, and Fletcher and Bailey as well. It's good to go over with some people that you know and are familiar with.
There's some great urban myths in footy, Rob. Is it true that when you first spoke to Leopold, that you asked Gary Hocking what his football background was?
Yes. I had no idea who he was or what he is. My name's Gary, whatever. I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. What's your footy experience, Gary? And he's rattling off like, all Australian, can you? Playing a couple of premierships, playing a game for Geelong, and he's giving me his resume. I'm like, oh, yeah. Should have done me research.
How old are you, Rob? Late 20s?
Yeah, 27.
Yeah, so in your defence, Buddha retired in 2001 or 2002, so you would have been 4 or 5 when he retired. So,
I'm tipping you didn't barrack for the Cats either, by the sounds of it. So,
No. I had no idea. He reminds me of it all the time as well.
It's the disappointment of 22, and then going on and playing in a flag. Was that your motivation that you were just ensuring that you didn't miss out in 2023? Was that what got you through this year?
I was dropped a few games before, just out of form, and then I was lucky enough to get a look in that grand final loss. But yeah, I saw something in the team, and I'm like, we did keep most of our roster, so I can't even remember. I think we did get a few inclusions like Will and all that, and Footer and all the coaching staff kind of convinced me to go around again.
Yep.
And I did see the potential. I knew we had it in us, and even to make a deep finals run, and we're fortunate enough to walk away with the flags this year. So I don't regret the decision saying at all.
Now, the Banno Tigers, you've been to pre-season with Ronnie and the boys. What's the atmosphere like out there?
It's good. I like Bannockburn. It's a cool little town, and everyone seems to get along. There's a lot of nice people out there and very supportive.
It must be good to be able to go to a club that's been pretty successful in recent times as well. So, I think the expectation is there for them to again be, a finalist and then pressing for the premiership.
Yeah, to be honest, I know nothing about GDFL. I couldn't even tell you half the teams in the tournament. But, Ronnie was saying, looking pretty good, and he gave me a rundown of how successful they've been and all that. So,
Rob, we really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with us.
No worries. Thanks, boys. Thanks for the chat. Hopefully you call a couple Bannockburn games.
We'll see if we can fit him in the schedule.
GFL's old news anyway. It's all GDFL now.
Well done. From the script. Good work.
What a legend. That Buddha story.
Oh, that's gold. Could you imagine Buddha's face when that happened?
That's good. Bit of news, Ram.
Yes.
We're going to lose our last manual scoreboard in the GFNL.
Really?
Mm.
Where is it?
Grovedale's going electronic.
Are they?
Yeah. And they're getting nets.
Oh, behind the goals?
Yes.
Really?
Mm.
Which they probably need to because they're on the train line.
Torquay Road end.
On the train line. No, yeah. That's good.
Yep.
That's good.
I ran into Simon Hose and he's very excited. Yep. Got a little bit of Werribee news.
Oh, hello.
So Jimmy Allen.
Yes.
As we know, coaching. Yes. Former Lara star. Well, three-time McGarry medalist.
Yep.
So Kyle Hardigan will be part of his coaching staff.
He will be.
So well, let's have a look at the Bellarine fixture and the VFL fixture and see how they marry up.
How many does he play?
We don't know because we haven't seen either fixture, although the Bellarine fixture was doing the rounds yesterday,
right.
But a couple of adjustments have needed to be made. So we're doing this Wednesday afternoon. We might see, by the time you listen to this,
yep.
Bellarine might fixture be might
coaching
be
the back line, I believe, Kyle?
Yes, guess who's coaching the midfield?
Jared Young
yes.
from Inverleigh. Oh, sorry, was I stealing your thunder there?
No,
sorry,
no,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Jared Young.
And Geelong Amateur.
And Geelong Amateur and everywhere else he's played. Yes, I know, that's a good get, isn't it?
A wonderful career. And Youngie's going to be a dad again for the second
good.
Time.
Well done. So, good work.
Congratulations
yes.
to him. Good news there. There was a big meeting last night, GFNL presidents.
Mm-hmm.
Not all were there. One GFNL president's in Bali. One GFNL right. president is in Argentina.
What happens when you're a travel agent, I suppose? Is that what it is?
That's the one
the
in
Argentinian president.
That
well done.
Be, that good would work. Be Tim Sherman.
Yes.
There's a couple of clubs I've spoken to. Are supportive of the concept, but think there are some grey areas. And I think Nipper Highland
think Nipper just
touched on that. There's just some areas that they need some more clarity around. I've had some statements from some clubs, and Joseph's have provided me with a statement. They're very much on the... I read it as being on the fence at the moment. If I was a betting man with the GDFNL out... And some Bellarine clubs raising some issues.
Yeah.
I think this is not getting up, much to the disappointment of the AFL Bowling Commission.
I think the timing of it is the key. It's definitely not getting up for 2025. I think the clubs want to know a bit more information. I think they need to work a bit more with AFL Bowling on that.
Yep.
So I don't think it's... I don't think it's dead in the water, but I think there's going to need to be a bit more time allocated to it with in relation to letting the clubs know some stuff, I think.
Newtown
wow.
bleeding players.
Wow, aren't they?
They've announced some re-signings of some key players.
Yes.
But Uriah Hollard.
Bell Park.
Yep. Noah Hollard's gone with him, although Noah's only playing in the reserves, so the brothers have gone.
Yeah.
There is a link there with Uriah's dad.
James Saker.
He's good mates with James Saker.
Yeah.
And James is known
doing
the
nicely,
boys.
The Parkers.
They just,
just humming along under the surface.
With Lloyd coming back,
permanent
basis. Ben Worm back on a permanent basis.
Yep. Oscar Riccardi going there.
Yeah, he will spend most of his time at Geelong, I suspect. Oh, okay.
Anyway, let's just keep going.
Right, okay, we will keep going. Tom Panuccio has gone to Swan Districts with Jai Chalkraft. And Jackson McLaughlin.
It's little Geelong over there.
It is.
Swan Districts.
So they've headed over there.
Yeah.
What else is sort of
well,
come across your desk?
Lockie Bond.
Oh, yes.
And Matty Lloyd.
So is Lloyd going as well?
I
is
believe
he?
So, to Redan.
Right.
So, yep.
Bond's still going to be on the Geelong VFL list, I understand. Or he's training with
Geelong. Training with them, yes. Yeah, so it's just like that top end. It's just, you know, five or six players... A couple of recruits, but you know, nothing substantial just yet. So it'll be, I mean, again, depth, their reserves played finals. It's going to test them a bit, I think. But, you know, some young boys too. Archie Sinnott's not going to be there. I believe Archie Lazaro is training with North Melbourne in the VFL. And
oh,
probably
good.
Will be playing in Melbourne somewhere.
Yep.
So, you know, just lose that depth as well. So it'll test them a bit, I think.
Some GFL news you heard was in regards to a couple of Noahs.
Yes, Noah Gribble and Noah Lever. So, obviously, with Werribee, and I believe they're travelling next year and won't be at Werribee and won't be local either.
Right.
So, if they're around, it might be sort of start of the season, end of the season, but middle of the season, they won't be here playing footy. So, interesting.
Okay. Very quiet in the Bellarine. Not a huge amount going on. I think it's all been overshadowed by Ollie Wiltshire going to the Cats, to be honest.
Probably.
One that bobbed up during the week, Jai McGough.
Yes, at Queenscliff.
Big country rep down to Queenscliff.
I think Model Warrior going all right, from what I hear, in terms of player pickups. They've got Ryan Williams from Lawn and also, obviously, Josh Hovey. But
so Ryan Williams being ex-Port Adelaide.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Paddy Cunningham. And I've heard Matt Farrelly from Sea Lake is a pretty good player too.
Well, he played in their flag.
Yeah, and he's, yes.
In 2018. And I think he's got least 50 VFL games at the Cats under his belt.
Yep.
So he was travelling up there to play. So he played in the flag with Josh Jenkins.
That's right, at Selak. Yep. That's right, exactly, yep.
But the one I like is that there's going to be a mortar playing at Motawarri.
There is, yes, I see that.
I think Terry would have a very big smile on his face that Scotty's going to pull on good. the Maroon.
So they're
going
all right. They're going okay, the Warriors.
GDFL pretty quiet, although interesting one, talking about Leopold just losing some depth. So, you know, Rob, not a depth player, but Fletcher Wilson, Bailey Kelly. Rory Desnoy is an interesting one to North Geelong.
Yeah, he is, yeah. So was in and out of the team a bit, especially at the end of the year. Played a final, I think, and then got squeezed out again when they had a couple more in. So he will be good on the wing, I would suspect, for Peter Riccardi and the Magpies.
Didn't ask Luke Rain about a couple of blokes. Darcy Sherwin, because Flynn Sherwin's gone to Drysdale, back to the home club.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I'd heard early that he was thinking of going, but I haven't seen or heard of what's happening there. I suspect possibly with a few out, he's possibly thinking he's going to be a more regular senior player.
Falcons captain Michael Rudd weighing up where he plays.
Right.
Going to be at Carlton VFL.
Right.
Will St Mary's be his interchange club?
You'd think so.
Still being worked on. Paddy Hughes is going to have Torquay as his interchange club. So Morris medalist, Falcons best and fairest. Geelong VFL, but I've been told he is in a moon boot. He's been some syndesmosis.
Oh, no.
Is my spies are telling me.
Oh, no, that's not good.
I might just message from said
from said
source. Paddy Hughes joins Geelong VFL pre-season squad in a moon boot syndesmosis from surfing.
Oh, God.
7 weeks.
Oh, no. There's a fun pre-season.
Yeah.
Walking around in a moon boot.
So, bit stiff. Yeah. Not to be drafted.
Yeah.
And now finds himself on the back foot.
Yeah, that's not good.
Going into to 2024. Yeah. What have you heard?
What have I heard? Well, I've heard that there might be an interesting recruit at Thompson in the GDFNL. I can't say any more at the moment, but I've just heard there might be an interesting recruit coming after Christmas to Thompson. Okay. Next one, I'll possibly be able to have the name.
Right. I think that might do us for Beyond the Boundary for 2023. It's only our second episode. Thank you to the 500 people who listened to the first one.
Yeah, good on you. Well done.
Let your friends know.
Good on your dad. Well done. Thanks for that.
For listening 500 times. Click, 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 click. We have got plenty to cover off on at K-Rock Footy over the next 10 days or so before we go into a little bit of a hiatus on the website for a month. And then we'll be back on January 22 to really dig into it. And we'll probably bring you a Beyond the Boundary in late January when teams are fired up and bring you more a little bit in depth from what's happening in the world of local football. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Yours as well, Captain.